In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is one of those gospel lessons that's really at the core of everything. If you probably know the song, This Little Light of Mine. You learned it as a child. We're still inspired today by shining our little lights and being the salt of the earth. Each week I prepare a couple of sermons here at Calvary. One I preach here at 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and then the other one I preach at 9:15 at the family service. And a gospel like the one we heard today is actually the most challenging to preach to small children. We often forget that children don't think the same way that we do. They're in a different place developmentally. So they can't grasp being in someone else's shoes when they're 5 years old. And they don't understand light as a metaphor. So I found a way to describe to being the light of the world in a concrete way. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." A child can understand that the greatest source of light comes from the sun. When the sun's out, we wake up, we go out, we live our lives, and human beings tend to be the most fully alive in the light. When the sun goes down, it gets dark outside. And when it's dark, what do? We go to sleep. We're typically the least active when it's dark. And when it is dark, sometimes if we stay awake, we need light to stay awake. So Jesus is trying to say he wants us, in being the light of the world, to be our most fully awake, alert, alive selves. Now these concepts of being light, the light of the world and the salt of the earth, I think are even challenging to some adults. When we think someone's a particularly wonderful human being, we say, well, they are the salt of the earth. And we have these game shows like America's Got Talent, where we watch auditions and we see person after person try out and fail, only to find that one special person to whom we respond, oh, look at their light shine. And I think in all of this, we sometimes discount our light and how we shine. We in our American culture also hear this scripture and think about how it's about each individual person letting their light shine. The actual Greek translation of your is not a singular your in let your light shine, but instead all you all, let your light shine is the best translation. My friend who used to serve in Georgia, now in Southern Ohio, we compare sermons. He said, you have to say all y'all. All y'all, let your light shine. In this week's gospel, Jesus is saying, be what you are, all y'all. If you are salt, then don't lose your flavor of salt. If you are a lamp, then don't put a basket over yourself so no one can see your light. Give savor, give light. As Jesuit priest John Foley writes this week, this is consoling advice. We get to be ourselves. Now, when we talk about being ourselves, this can sometimes come across as pretty selfish, right? And it goes back to that individual sort of sense of what this means. We think of expressing this as, I get to do whatever I want to do, or take care of number one, or if it feels good, do it. There's a song that several people of a certain generation have asked me to play at their funeral reception. Frank Sinatra's My Way. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. As Father Foley explores, there is a backdrop of fear here. Something about not being free to be myself, to have to do everything according to someone else's design. The world and its population are very, very large, and it is no surprise that mass production and mass advertising and mass purchasing give us the feeling that we are just cogs. in a giant international industrial wheel. Worth nothing in ourselves but contributing to the market as long as we do and buy what we are supposed to. So to do it my way is a statement about facing down the great machine and defying it outright. But the scriptures assume the opposite. They suppose that every human being is created with an unrepeatable, deep, interior shape. Rather than fighting to do my own will, no matter what, I need to allow the Spirit of God to find a home deep within my space. This is the spirit of loving, of respect, of forgiveness. It is God. You and I were built to be at one with this presence. So becoming ourselves means becoming what we were meant to be, a home for the spirit of Jesus, of God. But when Jesus is talking about being who God made us to be, the light of the world, Jesus is not talking about just me and you. He's talking about us. And when God people are ourselves, this is what we do, as outlined by the prophet Isaiah. Share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked when you see them. Do not turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Have you ever tried doing it your way? Coming up short? Doing things the way you want to do it? Blazing the trail on your own, only to feel like you're living in the dark of night, not fully alive, not feeling alive at all. Jesus gives us this different way. It's perhaps even more countercultural in the United States today than it was in Jesus's time. All you all are the light of the world. Calvary Church, all y'all, you are the light of the world. Now, how do we live as this light? Jesus essentially says, be who you are. First off, we are who we are because we trust in and believe in God. We believe that God gives us light, gives us life, and that without God and without each other, our salt does lose its saltiness because we aren't who we are. If our strategy is simply, I do it my way and you do it your way, we miss out on the point of it all, which is to be who God made us to be, all of us. Now, the last part of today's gospel is perhaps the most challenging part. It's the part I don't think I've ever heard anyone preach about in this particular gospel. Jesus says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And upon first reading that, I think, well, then we may as well just give up. But then I dove more into what righteousness actually means. Righteousness came up in the psalm today, too. Righteousness actually means the power of God at work in the world to bless, to redeem, to sustain, to protect. We don't have a great word for this in English. Surprise, surprise. But it's about much more than moral perfection. And it's more about God's ability to do work in the world through us, just as we are, just as God made us. It's not about how we're being made perfect. It's about how we're participating in it. It's about showing up for worship, showing up to learn, showing up to feed the hungry and shelter the oppressed and the homeless. There is so much that's not right about the world. And I know I get discouraged and feel like I can never be righteous enough. And the church maybe will never be righteous enough. That's the reassuring thing about Jesus's image of salt when it comes to righteousness. You just need a little bit of salt to make a difference. You don't need to pour out salt everywhere. That kind of messes stuff up. Just need a little bit of salt, a little bit of light. Our lights, they're reminders of God's presence and their glory when they shine upon a night sky. And that's the great mystery of how God works if we're open to it. And the incredible part is that we're part of the mystery. Just a little bit of salt, a little bit of light goes a long way. Poet J. John Doe writes about this work of being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And I'll close with her words. You get too discouraged. You forget you are learning to walk. Of course you fall down. Give yourself time. I am patient with you. Be more patient with yourself. I have something very special in mind for you. Something only you can do. Don't give up. All y'all, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Don't give up. Amen.